Welcome to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. I'm James Groves, and along with my business partner, Bill Dement, we want to share our journey as small business owners with you. As owners of Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, we will attempt to peel back the curtain of owning a small business in the trade service industry and talk about the many adventures of owning a small business. Good morning, Bill.
James, how are you?
I'm doing great. We had a great weekend this past weekend.
Oh, back from Miami. Have you recovered?
I have recovered. Miami was great. The franchise show down there was the most successful, most active show we've ever done.
The show was good. And The people we met, not just the people looking to buy franchises, but the actual exhibitors that were at the show were just educational.
Yeah. I just can't wait to see what happens with Hole in the Wall in the South Florida area. So that's going to be...
They're going to love us.
They are.
It's you know they will.
All right, enough about us.
No.
I would love to introduce someone that our friend Mandy Waters, who was on the podcast a couple months ago, brought to our attention. And so Cheryl Mays is the president of Rise and Shine Consulting and Coaching Firm. And so she is here, and she's got a great story, and I can't wait to hear it. So, Cheryl, thank you. Welcome for being here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. Right.
Our audience loves you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And this is funny because we have a lot of guests that we know and we have at least some background on. And then I know about you because you sent me some words on you, and that's about it. And so I cannot wait for us to get to know you because I know you're already a superstar. I've already done some research on you, and I know that you've got so much to say. But first of all, just welcome. Thank you for being here. It's so great to have you here. I like seeing your smile. It's like a room light up.
Radiant.
Thing. Radiant. That's it.
That's it.
You guys are far too kind. I'm never leaving. You have a third co-host now.
No problem.
Right. Hey, we don't hate that.
Come on down. We love it. We love it. So Cheryl, so tell us a little bit about you and just kind of your background and then how it led you to be part of Rise and Shine. And I know it's a fascinating story. We'll dig into it more, but kind of give us the quick synopsis there.
Sure. So hailed from Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
Snowbelt country. And it's great to be here in Florida in March or January where it's 90 degrees here and it's 10 degrees there. So that was a huge, huge way for me to transition.
Yeah.
And what is it? The weather. So I was able to move down here. And, you know, amazingly started out my career as a volunteer. Started out with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, a nonprofit organization helping children. I've had this ability. I want to say it's a blessing to be able to work in three areas that I am very passionate about: children, education, and animals. Those are my three.
Thanks.
So I've had the opportunity of working with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, went from there to the Orlando Humane Society, from there to Junior Achievement of Central Florida, and Down Syndrome of Florida. And so as the director of development, I've had the opportunity of creating what I like to call retention programs, stewardship programs. You know, for any nonprofit organization, having people donate is the way that they stay functional, able to complete the mission. And when you have those repeat donors, now we're talking about sustainability. And so unbeknownst to me that was going to be my calling. So it started out there. From there, went into education, worked in the front line. As a what we used to call a high school coordinator. I was out in high school, was talking to students. Again, there we go with the education and kids. Got the blend there.
Yeah.
And so from that point, what I realized is as my career advanced, my lens had an opportunity to change. And so the lens is one of, first of all, what does your customer look like? Right? How am I actually, you know, we're so numbers-based. It doesn't matter what business you're in. We are all numbers based. And when you look at the numbers and go, that's the point, that's the data point that we have to get. Well, how are you going to get there? There's a person, there's a pulse behind every number. And when we motivate the pulse, we move the numbers. And I had to learn that. But I learned that the hard way because I'd spent my years chasing numbers.
Yeah, we do like to measure things, don't we?
Yeah. But it's like the goal is, hey, I want to make X number of dollars. But you got to have a plan to execute to get that goal.
Yeah. And it's got to be realistic and sustainable. It's got to be sustainable. You know, we put plans together and then we can pivot, we can twist, which We hate that word pivot now, right? Since the pandemic, we don't like to use that word pivot anymore. But we do that, right? We have this ability to be flexible and yet steadfast. Mm-hmm. And that's the plan. But how do I make that plan so enriching that I enjoy doing it every day? And the people that I'm serving enjoy me being a part of their business or a part of their life.
Right.
And so that's the customer service aspect of it.
Well, and the way we treat our customers is a true telltale of the culture of the company itself, right? So you want to make sure that you're treating them well. So have you pivoted from nonprofit? Now Rise and Shine does more than just nonprofit?
Yes, Rise and Shine is a customer service organization now. So my sole focus now is customer service trainings. So I train employees on communication, on all aspects of customer service, how to bring customers back, how to increase your retention, how to increase your referrals, how to actually have a pitch that will allow you to get referrals. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I've had the ability of being able to take all of that I've learned over the course of time from being out there on the front line, you know, being that tag person that is, okay, I found someone that might be interested. Now, to what level of interest do they have? And how can I help them in that manner? Because when you think about nonprofit, the one thing I learned is that there's always an opportunity for somebody. Sometimes people just don't know what the opportunities are. And so when you have the ability of bringing it to them and letting them see how they can fit in, now they're a part of something bigger. And everything that we do in life, we want to be a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And so from nonprofit to education, I now had the ability of seeing it through a different lens. And as I created, you know, donor programs and retention programs, what I realized is it's about relationships. The better I built my relationships, the more sustainable my business was. And so from being on the front lines and being promoted to a regional director, so now I'm over 5 locations, having the opportunity of being able to, again, use a different lens on who that customer is. It's now not the external customer, but it's the internal customer. And it's so funny because in business, we forget. Right? We forget about our internal customer, which is our employees. Right? And we don't treat them very well. Mm-hmm. But yet, we want them to treat our customers in a manner that they're not experiencing themselves.
Yeah, a lot of business owners miss that. I mean, we are really customer focused, you know, especially in our business here at Hole in the Wall. We want to make sure that our customer experience, when our technician goes out to the job site, that they're treated as we want them to be treated, nice and with respect their home. But as a business owner, it's important that we never lose that without our employees, we don't have a business. Mm-hmm. Without the people who are there knocking on the doors and doing the work, we don't have a business. And so we have to treat our employees like they're something special, like they're more than just a number, you know, or a tool to get our bidding done. So that's really important that now we do that here. I feel that we do a really good job at that, a lot of recognition. We try to do our best to
maintain. We've been pretty proactive about implementing programs to.
But we've heard stories. We've heard stories about other businesses in our sector that that's quite so nice. You know, the bosses are always yelling at their employees and
management by screaming.
Yep. Yeah. Make them feel like they, listen, if you don't want to be here, I'll hire somebody else to take your place. And that only gets you so far. And back in the early 2000s, like in 2009, when the economy started going down a little bit, we had to do, in my last company, we had to do some purging. We basically kept the good people, and the cream of the crop rise to the top. And the people that weren't as good, we pushed away. But my issue with how my management was handling it is they were treating the people who did stay like they could be replaced. Because I had resumes on my desk that if someone did drop, I could try and replace them immediately. But we missed the point. They were the best of the best. So they stayed because they were the best. And so the last thing you want to do is lose the best just because we think they're a number. Because when the market does shift again in 2010, 2011, 2012, they stayed because they needed a job. But the second they had a chance to jump ship.
Yeah, they were gone.
If we didn't treat them well, they were going to jump ship. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I get off my soapbox here for a second, but it's always been part of my key. I wanted to be that boss, that company that never, you know, looked down on their employees like that.
Yeah. So I'm curious, though, Cheryl, what are some of the elements that you value in regards to what James is talking about?
You know, it's first of all, is your employees are the bloodline. And without employees, and you said it, James, without employees, there's no business. So how are we helping our employees to feel comfortable, right? How are we engaging with them so that they want to go out and they want to meet these customers? They want to smile. They want to have that positive attitude. They want to be accommodating. You know, those are things that we have access to. But if you ever made a telephone call to support and you didn't get that, you got someone on the other end where you said, they're not very helpful. They're not interested in solving my problems. They're not even nice on the phone. You know, so we get that. And then what happens as a customer, that customer now takes that and they look at that as that's the way the company operates. They don't care about me. They don't care about making me feel good. So why should I stay with them? Here's something that's interesting for small businesses. There's 37.1 million small businesses in the U.S. So you're not the only ones in the industry. But what makes you a unicorn? What makes you that business where people say, if you're in need of drywall, I got the perfect person for you to contact. Right? And so what happens? It's human behavior. Right? When I look at customer service, I look at it from a natural human behavioral point. We can do all the statistics. We can do all of the research. But it comes down to human behavior. People like to feel good. People like to feel good about the decisions that they've made. How does an employee help a person do that? By providing that lasting impression, that experience.
Yeah, they make them feel valued.
Yeah. You make them feel valued, and then how do you do that? Well, there are some techniques, right? We listen. We're not great listeners. Right. We like to multitask, which we think is a thing. It's not.
It's not.
You know, we like to you know, we like to answer people's questions before they've asked the question.
Or we're thinking about the next thing we're going to say as soon as that person stops talking.
Yeah, we're more focused on the words we're about to say than what they're actually saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
active listening is important. It's funny when we teach our estimators to go to job site. Well, I used to follow Bill when he was doing estimation early in my life here. And he basically would walk in the door and all I have to say is, hi, I'm Bill. I'm here to look at your drywall. And you just keep your mouth shut.
Because there's a story coming.
Yeah, there's a story coming that the homeowner wants you to know how the damage in their
and this is how it affected me.
Yeah.
It was traumatic when it happened.
Yeah. And so you basically walk around the entire house looking at the project and they're just speaking their emotion, and we could go just the facts, ma'am, but that doesn't really give them that sense of validation. So we train them to listen, and then at the very end, go, okay, now let's recap.
Yeah, essentially, the good news is anything can be repaired. Let's see how we can take care of this for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the other thing it gives you the ability of doing is it learns. You have the ability of learning what a person's expectations are. Mm. You know, how many times do we hear that? I don't know what my customer's expectations are. Well, if you have the ability of listening, and like you said, people are just going to, they're going to give you every piece of information that they've ever had from the time they built the house or from the time the incident occurred until now, here you are to make my day better. But they're going to give you the whole story. And when I get the whole story, my questions are now different. And I'm not asking those substandard questions. I'm now asking questions for clarity purposes. I'm asking questions to help me understand. Mm. Now I get to learn you as a customer. Now what happens? Not only can I find out what your expectations are, I also get to find out, how can I go above and beyond? Mm-hmm. Because if this is what you're expecting, well, I know we can do that. And we can do this, which is something you're not expecting. Now what have I done? I've just changed the experience. Now this person has a lasting experience that they're going to remember. And what happens when you remember something? You talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now I'm talking to people that I meet on the street, just in casual conversation. I'm talking to people in my group. I'm talking about my experience.
Yeah, I've become a brand fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that brand fan.
Yeah,
I usually call them brand evangelists. They go out and they spread the good news.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, we actually have quite a few of those.
Well,
and that's what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you got as a business owner, I mean, sure, we pay for marketing, but the best marketing is word of mouth. It's that referral you're going to get from someone who's like, you know, I use them, I trust them. You got to use them too. There's nobody better. I don't care how much money I spend on a commercial or leads groups or whatever it is. That's the best referral. Someone that they were in my house. It was amazing. You're a fool if you don't use them.
Yeah. And here's my experience with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important.
And you know, the other thing with that is, which is so interesting, is that we're wired to do this. We're wired to tell those stories. We're also wired to tell the horrible stories. Mm-hmm. Things didn't go right. Let me tell you this. Right, but we're wired for that. And if you go back, right, we can go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Make it really simple. Again, I like simplicity. And we make it really simple. What's our basic need, right? Food, water, and shelter. From there, we have to have this sense of self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Well, how do I improve my self-esteem? Well, I like to be liked. What allows you to be liked? Well, I give you a recommendation about something you need. You come back and go, Cheryl, thank you so much for that recommendation. They were awesome. I feel good. You've just boosted my self-esteem.
Yeah.
I can move to my next level of needs. So it's all human behavior when we get down to the bare simplicity of how to bring customers back. And that's how I like to look at it, because people try to, you know, we can pontificate, we can, you know, do all of this massive research. But at the end of the day, it's going to come back to how was my experience with you?
Wow, that is so good, Cheryl. And this is part of what your business does. You coach people how to do this.
Exactly.
Wow.
How to do that. And I like to say it's looking at it from a different lens. And I like to tell people, if you spend time with me, you'll see things a little differently. Because I like to look at things from a different lens. And how can we remain consistent? Because it's all about business sustainability. You know, when we think about what happened during the pandemic, the businesses that survived were the ones where the customers said, we'll drive up outside, we'll buy something from you, we will keep you afloat. Those are the businesses that survived. You know, and nothing's changed. Right? Now we have to just teach people, how do you take a negative experience and turn it around? How do we take those customers that have had a bad experience, and how do we now turn it into a positive one? And that happens through training your employees on how to communicate.
Want to become a business owner but not sure where to start? A hole-in-the-wall drywall repair franchise could be the opportunity you've been waiting for. As a franchisee, you'll have access to our comprehensive training program, ongoing support, and a proven business model developed to help entrepreneurs like yourself succeed. With our low overhead costs and high demand for services, you'll be able to hit the ground running and start generating income quickly. Achieve financial success while providing a valuable service to your community. Go to holeinthewallfranchising.com and take the first steps towards achieving your entrepreneurial dreams. You make my mind think of a few things, because obviously we think of our customer as our homeowner, but then you flip it on its head that our customer is changing. As a manager, my customer may not be the homeowner, but it's my employee.
It's the employee, right? Yeah.
And frankly, everything that we're doing leads back to one of the things you said earlier in the podcast is relationships. And so we have a relationship with everyone we touch, whether it's a good or a bad one, whether it's a quick one or a long one. But we're building this relationship. So how important is the relationship building? When you look at a relationship, you're not just talking about employee-employer relationship. You're talking about customers, mm-hmm. You're talking about all that, right?
Absolutely. The relationship is one where every interaction, every conversation, there is a wish for outcome. What do I want from this conversation? What do I want from this interaction? Well, I think it's fivefold if you're a business. You want your customers to come back. You want them to extend their services. You want them to get more. You want them to tell your family, friends, and colleagues. We want them to be our brand ambassadors. Those are the beliefs of every business. How does that happen? By using customer service as your superpower. Because if I am providing a service, even in the instance that something went wrong, maybe the delivery was late, maybe the color was a little off, we know certain things like that can frustrate a customer. right? So now how do we take that frustration and turn it around so that they go, I will let you guys fix this. Why? Because I trust you. Mm-hmm. Because I know our past experience that we've had together. You've been quick to respond. You send your people out. They're professional. So I will let you fix this. And now what better story than to have someone say, you know what? I was going to leave, but I didn't. Because I called them up and they were right here within the next hour. Somebody was here at my doorstep. That's something for them to talk about. You think they're going to get on the phone and say, hey, Paula, guess what happened? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, and the manner in which I help organizations is that this is important for your employees to even understand. Because nobody says, I'm working to make the company more money.
Yeah.
Nobody says
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's not their goal, is it?
Yeah. Right? Their goal is that I want to work to feel good about what I do at the end of the day. That's their goal. So as a business, how do you make that happen? Because if you make that happen, then the rest, they do themselves. Right? You ever go into a place and you see employees smiling and you haven't even gotten to the counter yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're waiting for you.
Yeah. Right.
And make you feel like you're important to them.
Yeah. And yeah. We've gone into places where they're doing something. They're like, welcome to so-and-so. And you're like, where did that voice come from?
Mm-hmm. We actually, on the way back from Miami, we stopped in a restaurant, walked in, and there was not an employee in sight anywhere. At the counter, in the back of the kitchen, there was no one.
It was crickets. Yeah, it was crazy.
And that was a really weird experience. And then within 5 minutes, four or five employees materialized. I don't even know where they were.
They were vanished in the back.
We certainly didn't feel very important, I can tell you that.
I really like what you said, that customer service is our superpower.
Oh, I wrote it down. I love it.
I don't want to interrupt this, but that's a customer service is our superpower. Because no matter what business you're in, make it your superpower. Make it the relationship that you have with the customer, whether it's for just a few seconds or whether it's going to be for a long project, make the way you treat them be so significant that they see you completely differently in a positive light.
Absolutely. And then we have to understand that there are going to be levels of frustration because we're all human and we're going to make a mistake. Something's going to be late. Maybe a phone call didn't get returned as promised. Right? Maybe, something just went awry. And the way I train people is to look at it so that you don't take it personally, because how often have we heard people say, oh my gosh, they were yelling at me. They made me feel horrible. It's not about you. Something in their experience failed and they just need it fixed. And when we look at it from that angle of saying something in the experience failed, I now have a more clinical approach on how to handle this, and it's not emotional. So now I respond versus reacting, which says I'm going to ask different types of questions. I'm going to listen better. I might even have to take notes. I've realized I'm a note taker when it comes to listening. Because I have distracting thoughts. I'm thinking about something that's going on later that day. I'm thinking about emails that I have to send. And so how do I correct my behavior? I have to take notes. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I can ask questions that are relevant. Right? Because we know when you have someone on the phone, you know when somebody's not listening.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we know when somebody's not listening by the questions that they ask, by the hesitation. All of this is a part of the experience. Here's something that's interesting. Went to get my eyes examined. There were only two people in the entire center. I felt really good. I came in. I sat down. They called me right back for my appointment. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is fabulous. Right? I go back there. The doctor is very, very attentive, very nice. I come back out. Someone walks with me. I select my glasses. Another gentleman comes in. Now there's two of us in the facility. And so at the end, they wait on the other gentleman, checks him in, and, you know, gets him ready for his appointment. And I thought, okay, fine, she's getting my paperwork. I get home, open up my paperwork to see what my cost and services are. It's not me. It's the other gentleman. She got a 50-50 shot there getting this right. So, but it was the other gentleman. And I call, and I said, I have the wrong paperwork. Can you email it to me? And her response was, we don't have external email. She says, you're going to have to come back and pick it up. And I thought, you're 30 minutes away from me. Right. And so now my other lens kicks in and I thought, how should she have handled this? Because me coming back to pick up paperwork that you were supposed to give me, had you paid attention to detail, right, which is another customer service technique, paying attention to detail, I would not be inconvenienced. So now what started out as a great experience ended up with something that wasn't great, which took away from the entire experience.
Right.
Because now it's on my list of things that didn't go well.
Mm-hmm. And a negative can erase a ton of good. So, mm-hmm. You know, they always say in show business, you're only as good as your last show, right? You're only as good as your last meeting. You're only as good as your last event. And it's true. You could have a track record that's beautiful, but at the very end, we mess it up. And now it's a bad experience, mm-hmm. period.
And it's like, think of your franchise owners, right? They have these technicians going into people's homes. They're very cordial. They're very accommodating. They're clean and everything, but they left and the homeowner has to now sweep behind them.
Right.
Oh, we don't like that at all.
No.
See, it changes the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Because now I don't get to look at the beauty. I look at, oh, I got to sweep.
I'm distracted
up this
by
dust.
The flaw in the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So quick question, and listen, and if you don't have the answer, I'll edit it out. But curious if you have any stories, any like wins that you've gone into a company and you don't got to name names, that something was happening, you came in, did some teaching, and then you saw a turnaround.
So let me focus on one. So I'm working with a restaurant, and I really like this story because it really made an impact. So working with a restaurant, and they're a small to-go restaurant. They have about five employees. Excuse me. They have about five employees. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to increase their return customers. So they were getting people that were driving, and they're here in Longwood area. And so they were getting people that were actually driving from Daytona because the food is really good. And so they wanted to increase their retention. And when you think about small businesses, those are terms that most businesses don't really use, like retention rate increases and, you know, how do we make that happen? And so we came in and I said, okay, tell me your story. What is the purpose of the restaurant? Because you have to have the purpose of what it is that you're doing. And so this restaurant, all the recipes were from the owner's mom who had passed away. And the restaurant was actually named after the mom. And so, okay, so I see that there is this legacy, right, that's here. And so what is the experience that you want your customers to have? And I usually start there, and I always call it taking the safari. As a business owner, you have to take the safari. You've got to go on this quest yourself and see what is it that my customers are experiencing. Because a lot of times we think it's A, but they're actually getting B. And so I said, okay, so let us be your own customer. They have a group of young folks that were in there working. And so they hadn't really had the career experience. They hadn't had the opportunities of understanding the importance of building relationships because they were still new in their careers. And so we came together as a team, and I went through this entire spiel about, you know, who is your customer and how would you like to feel when you came in here? And so we started looking at how are they interacting when customers come in. And then what's something unique? And what's something unique that you can call as your signature that you would like these customers to walk away with? So imagine going up to a counter, right? And we see this all the time. You go up to a counter, the individual is looking down, right? They're either looking at the screen or they're looking at their phone or they're doing something, but they're not looking up at you. So that was number one. Is that you have to embrace your customers. You have to communicate with them. You have to talk to them. Just
yeah,
casual
you have to
conversation.
Engage.
Exactly.
Yeah, pay attention. Right?
Beyond what can I get you?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I think in some instances, individuals aren't sure about what kind of conversations, you know, do I spark up with people? Right. And I said, you don't have to think about being, you know, this enlightening conversation. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, how was your travel here? Mm-hmm. You know, how far did you come? So now what am I doing? I'm learning about this individual. I'm learning where they came from. I'm asking questions, right? How did you hear about us? All of these things are enticing because now I'm engaging. They're not realizing they're waiting for their food. And next thing they know, their food is here. 10 minutes have gone by.
and they have to break off a great conversation to eat.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. But not only that, what we did was they started putting these notes on the to-go containers. Right. So think about when you were in school and you might have gotten a note from mom or dad in your lunchbox and said, hey, you're amazing.
Right.
Right. Imagine what your day could have been like. You might have had a gym class and you were like, oh, geez, I hate this. But you get to lunch and you open up this thing and you see this note that says, you're amazing. It just puts a smile on your face. And so this is what the restaurant did. They started taking notes that were, you're amazing. You know, we look forward to seeing you again. All of these like positive affirmation type notes.
Wow.
And they were putting them on the containers. So as you picked up your meal and they put your container in the bag, you had
this
note.
Such a terrific idea.
Taped on top of your bag. But here's what happened. These are the result. They had a customer call up from in the car because she was eating in the car. She's like, the food was so good. I grabbed it in the car. But when I opened up the bag and saw this note on the top, she says, you just don't know what kind of day I had.
Oh.
And this right here, and I'm getting like mushy right now.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But it's like this right here helped me get through this moment.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. Something that's just simple, small. It was a sticky pasted on a styrofoam container.
But they made an emotional connection with that.
There you go. And guess what she said? I'll be back. Mm. How often do we want to hear that?
Right.
I'll be back again.
That's great.
So
that's
I love
story.
To tell that story. That's
wow,
one of my favorites.
That is one of my favorites. No, that's a great story.
And I call those like easy delighters. Right. There are things that we can do that are just easy. Right. It doesn't cost a fortune for the company. You don't need multiple approvals for it to go upstairs and get signatures. It's just something that you can do that adds to the experience. And then think about what it does for the employee. Right. They get to create these things. Right. They get to create these sayings. And their attitude shifted. Right? So now here you are creating a customer's experience, but you're also creating an employee experience that changes how they see themselves in the role that they play, because now they're delivering messages of positivity to the world. It's much bigger than just giving people food.
Wow.
It's connecting on the human level.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's using customer service as your superpower.
That is great. Holy moly. Sorry, I got to digest.
No, that was just terrific.
My brain's going, how can we get here? How can we?
No, it really does get you thinking about it, but that's the challenge. That tells you the coach is doing her job because she's now got your juices going and you're like, how can we implement similar things? How can we show value not only to our customers, but I learned today our customers also are employees.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if one of our listeners needs you, because we all do, but what's the best way for them to get hold of you?
Two ways. One is definitely LinkedIn.
Okay.
I am on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way. The other way is to go to my website, which is Rising, RISINGANDSHINE, risingandshine.com. I have an academy where you can actually come in and take courses. You can bring your teams in and take courses. And it's all live facilitation. I don't like self-paced because nobody finishes.
Wow.
Well, because we all need that human connection, Cheryl.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great place to end it. Man, what a great time.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have you come back sometime and spread some more joy on our way. That'd be amazing.
I would be excited to do that.
Well, great. Well, listen, thank you for coming in today. And listener, if you think you might need some more of this, go find her. Go find her. Risingandshine.com. Excellent. Well, thank you for coming in again. And thanks, everyone, for listening. This is a really great show.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank you for listening to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. If you'd like to learn more about us and our business, check us out at holeinthewall.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to start a hole-in-the-wall franchise, go to holeinthewallfranchising.com.